Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
A little brief on bushfires in New South Wales around the end of 2019. I'm walking through the sky for the first time. This sort of the sun is white yellow rather than a deep red for days, and it's a big smell of bushfire throughout all of New South Wales. So New South Wales, I don't know, you can fit France, I think, inside New South Wales. I think that might be it. It's a fairly large state. And so Australia is sort of like the size of continental US minus California. So it's, you know, it's not the biggest country on earth. It's Brazil, in actual fact, is actually larger than it. But it's been burning like whatever. So what we're told is this. This is, I thought, was some rather interesting facts. That there's 80 million hectares of bushland. This is uninhabited land, not on farms or anything, uncleared land in New South Wales. I'm sure there was double, three times that much. No, not double. And of that, 3 million hectares have burnt. So there's 80 million and 3 have burnt. 20 can burn. And so you go, oh, well, what does it mean? There's 60. Now 60 can't burn because it's now so dry that all the grass and everything has died. Or it's so sparse. Or it's, you know, so open that you actually can't get bushfires. So there's really, at the moment, stuff. So normally you could probably get up to, on a good year where everything's growing well, you could get, I suppose, 40 million hectares. So it's a fair amount of land. And with no water, people know to sit back, and they just sit back and just let these huge areas burn, because it's largely inaccessible. Now, when you say inaccessible, oh, look, you're walking to a milk shop. That's what I'm doing at the moment. And in a car, there's roads. How come things aren't accessible? Well, the actual landscape is, at least in the Blue Mountains, is a raised riverbed. Sandstone, river sandstone, kilometre thick, and that's risen up, and it's actually a kilometre. It's only 300 metres high, our section. And what's happened is that the rivers have remained the same, and the actual landscapes risen up, causing these big ravines with rivers running through it. See, this person's washing his car, coming out. It's just something that I suppose you just get used to, or I just, he's got a swish looking car, get used to, and he's got to do it. G'day, Adrian. Yeah. I'm doing okay. I'm just...
Karaoke or something?
Oh, no. What? Say hello to the overseas audience.
Hello, overseas audience.
Okay. So what I do, you know all the entire thing about stroke rehabilitation and all that sort of stuff. So I've been, each day, so I've been given the task. They've said the education department's still looking after you. Rehabilitate yourself. And so what I've done is I do, if I can, 2 hours treadmill and the cognitive rehab. Yeah. And then I think I'm up to 1,800 podcasts. Jeez. where I just talk because the brain has been blocked.
Yeah.
And then because it's sort of, you can't get used to talking socially because with the brain thing, you don't know when to stop.
Yeah.
Or you can't read someone's face when they go that. And so it's just best to learn how to talk into this. And then there's,
where do you do that at?
This.
Well, what happens is that I've got this little podcast thing, a dictaphone.
Yeah.
This Chinese thing from 30 bucks.
Yeah.
No, it's hello. It's a directional microphone, so it only goes this way. Yeah. So they won't hear it now.
Yeah.
I can't hear it now.
Yeah.
And then I have, part of cognitive rehab, I've rebuilt, I've written a podcast program for my robotics.
Yeah.
So you just plug it in and it goes. And there's mostly US, German, Ukraine.
Where are you actually doing it? Are you off to somewhere now?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually off to buy some milk.
Oh, right.
And then what happens is that at the moment I'm just giving a lowdown on the bushfires, the number of fraction of the state and why it's burning, and the fact I'm just saying that you're washing your car because hand washing it.
I haven't washed it for a while.
Oh, it's a looking fantastic car.
It needed a wash.
It's a definite beautiful blue. Okay, well, I'll let you go.
Okay.
And that's the whole brain thing. You've got to realise that people are washing their cars and stuff like that. Well, I'll see you about, mate. Okay, so that's the story there. Now, of course, our house, most people, if they get houses and get frightened, they cut down all the trees. Especially, we cut down the sort of trees we've got around our house, which have got huge amounts of oil in them. Now, Australian trees are oily. Yeah, like eucalyptus are oily. They produce, they're basically like fuel dumps. Australian trees. The reason it is that they spray out their oil. The oil photodegrades, creates an oil smog, a natural smog. And this is what we call the Blue Mountains. The Blue Mountains is covered with tree oil smog. Now, it's actually healthy for the lungs, apparently, because eucalyptus oil is an antiseptic, you know, whatever. Now, the smog goes up into the upper atmosphere and causes it to rain. So it's sort of like a rain story. But on the other side, when the flames catch these trees, it's not like a normal burning building. Okay, so seeing an Australian tree burn is something different. So bushfires make a huge noise. It's like, people describe it like a jet engine, and it can actually cause hearing damage. A lot of people out fighting fires actually have hearing protection on because it is such a noisy event. And the trees, which are basically, they've all dried out and got just basically fuel, burn so much. They burn so ferociously, they look as though they're a person on fire. They're like, they actually don't just stay there and burn. They actually lift up and flail the actual branches, sort of violently move up and down because there's the huge amount of uplift. They're pretty dry uplift, and of course this shakes embers. So it's not just normal embers. The whole thing shakes up. G'day. And so we've got sort of a big quarter acre, I suppose a big quarter acre. Okay, and we've got it's probably 100 meters across and then 50 meters, a good fraction of a hectare, and with lots of trees. And you sort of get used to a fairly thick leaf. Little layer. So for us, we had, not right next to the house, so we removed all our furniture away from the house and cleaned out of the house, but the rest of the garden probably had a 5 centimeter thick layer of leaves, and they're decomposing, but of course in the really dry weather they don't form a mulch or anything like that. And so the kids arrived. 6 kids, and they
arrival rates, because I've only got one rate. I've only a number of tools equivalent to one person at home working it up. And we filled something equivalent to, I think it's 31 bales of dry leaves. Now, can you imagine that? So it's hard to imagine. So this is just to give you an idea that in this small area there was just on the ground 31 equivalent bales, and this is basically a hay bale sack, and you just rake up and then put it in the bag, go down. Now I'm just going to stop now as I'm going into the milk shop to buy some milk on the way home, and just see how, whether it's a crisis thing. There's fireys and various people. There's still fire trucks going up the mountains. So signing off for the moment. Okay, back broadcasting again. I was just in the servo buying milk. Read the headlines, and sort of it's a quiet day today, and they're saying the loss to Australia is 1,000. What they think is going to be 1,000 homes all up, which is seems quite a lot, because you hear 2 or 3 lost here or 12 lost here, various fires. So 1,000 is quite a lot. And also the the cherished thought that it will knock back our GDP. So Australia's had, I don't think we've had a recession for 40 years. So we had enough money and in reserve, enough reserves, and enough centrally controlled economy, and enough economists knocking around the joint, that when the GFC hit, we just splurged money, and it was just like a little blip. In fact, we continued growing through the GDP. So China's growing at what must have been from 10 to 6% a year, and of course causing global warming as part of the picture. And so the thought of the GDP contracting is just absolutely shocking, but the actual businesses are slowing down. In that, putting it up in the Blue Mountains, which is like sticking your head in an oven. So the Blue Mountains, I could say, is about 50 kilometres across and 300 kilometres top to bottom before you sort of get out of wilderness. So there's a system of national parks which forms the larger. There's the Kangaroo, there's the Blue Mountain, there's Wollamai, there's Warragamba, and there's other national parks that people just simply have not heard of, just sitting in this big large swathe out of it. And so there's only one national park where they actually let people live, which is the Blue Mountains one, which is this corridor over the top. Used to be a lot more cleared. Industries in it, lots of logging and mining industries, which are now historic and wound up. So it's there. G'day. And so the general idea is that so this used to be the holiday, the mountain retreat. From the hot plains, you used to go up here, and it is a degree or two cooler. So, the coast is really cool, but Penrith, which is just to our base, it hit 47 degrees. Now, in your old money, I think 40 41 degrees is 100 degrees Celsius. It's 120 degrees Fahrenheit. Sorry, is your temperature reaching? 47, and there's places... I don't think people have... places in Australia have tipped 50 degrees yet. Yeah, now, it's a bit unlike Europe or other places where the birds just fall out of the sky or anything like that. The interesting stuff is that on really hot days, middle of the day, you don't get much reptile activity. So it's pretty interesting if it's at night when the ground's still hot that you get the snakes going out. The snakes come out at night. It's pretty interesting that I suppose it makes sense because the their food sources come out at night. The little wherever they are, little marsupials, rodents and stuff like that come out at night. So you get so it's quite interesting if you're walking around at night after a hot day, you will hear this rhythmic crinkling in the bush as things go around the place. So that's the overall thing, and so it's quite amazing people doing it. And so looking here, just looking into some of these properties, you just can't. It takes, like, I'm looking at this property over here as I'm walking down the place, and they just have areas. Well, they look all fairly clean. They've got some banks of leaf litter about the place, and what happens is that you've got these exploding trees which flail around with basic oil barrels on the branches moving up and down. They flail and produce these embers. The leaves break off. And create an ember front of these embers. And these embers just crawl and start heaps of grass fires. Almost like when there's a grass fire, everyone goes, well, nothing. It's a bushfire, which is difficult. And when the heat becomes so intense, the radiant heat causes the actual oil content increases, it causes a crowning fire. And this is when the fire races on the tops of trees. Now, obviously, a crowning fire can travel much faster, and even faster than the wind. Actually, it's known as creating their own weather events. It's a bit like the Dresden fire bombing. It creates basically a fire storm. Just seeing a train coming in up from the mountains, and it's a little bit dust covered, and so after heaps of preparation of getting our pool ready, my wife said, no, you've got to put the cover on because the ash is falling out of the sky. And it's only tiny amounts of ash, but indeed I couldn't detect it, but the buckets we had. So you have buckets out around your property, so you were filled with water, partly for the animals, you know, the odd birds come along. Now, it's interesting around here, the trees are shocking green. The weed trees, right, these are the self-seeding trees around here. Well, I suppose people find it hard to imagine, particularly in Europe, but there's these trees which have seeds in them. Well, it's obvious the trees are all berries. Birds eat them and shit them, and that's the overall thing. You can hear some. Oh, yeah, there's sort of. It seems to be a real pest, and a large number of pests about the place. So I'm just taking a little detour here. I just disposing of milk I bought at the shop in the someone's red bin. So we have a series of three coloured bins. A red lidded bin, they're all green. They're all green shaped, and they have red lid, yellow lid, green lid, and the green lid is for litter or green waste. And so to give you an idea, I don't know what it would be, probably a less than a cubic meter. You get less than a cubic meter of domestic waste a week, and then possibly 2.5 or 2 litres of green waste a week. And this is just the ability to pick litter and stuff off your property, put it in. So every 2 weeks you get a green bin, every alternate week you have a yellow bin, which allows you to put in recyclable. And then I think people are getting quite good at recycling now, so they take the soft plastic off and put it aside, and the aluminium foil and put it aside. And I think we've crept up to from 65% to 75% recycling of aluminium, all the aluminium and stuff like that. In fact, most things get recycled. So train tracks, whole trains, cars, they get put in basically a big shredder, you know, like a whole train. You can imagine a whole train that gets stripped of upholstery and stuff like that, and it gets put in a shredder, and then the sort of glass gets floated off apparently, and the magnetic material gets put off, and they have various things that recycle most of a train. So rather than take it apart and redo it, and then what's happening is that there's no industry here. We just go overseas to various countries, and we'll say, oh, I think I don't know whether it's from Singapore, we just sort of buy a whole train system, and with the trains built in India and China and stuff like that, it just plops in for so many billion dollars. So this is $1,000 million, and so you sit in and you don't feel anything really Australian with it. And I don't know, similarly there's with the firefighting equipment, various planes and helicopters and stuff like that, it's all computer modelled and resource modelled right down to the last detailed. So this is why, I don't know that if it's in just bushland, they don't do it. They fight the fires, but it's all about moving the assets to protect property the most. And so they closed roads. So I think in the US they lost several hundred people. We've lost no people except for two volunteer firefighters who went off the road and crashed their truck, so a truck accident. But there was not a national day of mourning for them, but all the politicians came out and for them. So I think 5 years ago there were I don't know how many people. Was it 5 years? Probably getting on 10 years ago. There's a big bushfire through here, and so they have. It is a death. There's coroner's reports, and so they have these things now that I think having lost one or two crews. Fire crews, they now say that certain things about radio contact and you're not allowed, it's illegal for an untrained crew, a volunteer crew to fight a fire. It must always have a trained professional with each fire crew. So there it goes. I'm coming back now to my house, see how it all goes. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.